Hello and welcome to the Gab and Jules show. No Gab today. He's taken the day off, the weekend off. So we've got Stuart Robson with us. There's a lot of things to talk about, to go through. International duties, of course. Plenty of games, big teams playing. We will have quick hits with the latest in the Premier League and the changes that could be happening. We start with England, though, against Belgium. Probably the biggest game of the weekend, if you think about it.
Well, it's the European Championship favourites, England, with the bookies, against the world's number one, wasn't it?
You're right, and obviously they played each other 2 years ago at the World Cup. I'm not a Gareth Southgate fan. I think listeners and viewers know that.
I'm with you.
I just don't like it. I struggle to understand why he was trying to do again. And I'll ask you this first. I have a problem with a team with no left-footed players, to start with. And maybe it's just me being a purist, because Belgium only had one, it was Lukaku, and they still had a very good, very strong left side of the pitch with only right-footed player, Carrasco and Castan. But I've got an issue with no left-footed players at all in your team.
Yeah, because it means that, I mean, particularly with Trippier at left wing-back, because it's happened in previous games when he played there. Whenever the ball goes out to him, he's never going to go to the byline and get across. He's never going to look down the line to play the next ball forward. He's always going to have to come inside. And it's okay if you come inside and you're looking into the front players. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't coming inside to look into the front players. He's looking to play square and backwards. So it stops all England's movement. Maguire, on the other hand, although people criticise him, he was the one player in the first half that when he was getting it onto his right, he was looking to play forward balls. He tried to hit Rashford in behind two or three times. He was the one that was being penetrative, whereas Declan Rice, when he got on the ball again, right-footed, had to come, and he was only playing it to the right-hand side. So there was a problem with the setup. I think there was a problem with the formation and the players that were playing within the formation.
So England won 2-1. They were 1-0 down as well after the Eric Dyer foul on Lukaku. It was a penalty, right?
You agree? Yeah, it was a penalty. No question about
that. What is Dyer doing? Because he knows he can't get the ball, surely,
He's so worried by Lukaku's pace. And I think if he hadn't made the slide challenge, Lukaku would have taken his next touch across him, and it could have been he was going to give a penalty away anyway.
Yeah.
And Lukaku was clever because he put his left foot across the challenge. But Dyer should stay on his feet. And it showed that a lack of pace with Dyer. And he's playing as the middle centre-half. Maguire hasn't got a lot of pace either. The one centre-half of the three that did have pace was Walker. And he showed that on numerous occasions and got England out of trouble.
So England come back in the game, I guess.
Do you think they should have been 2-0 down? Because the offside goal?
Do you think it's Meunier's offside?
Or is
Castan on a shot?
It's Castagne on the shot, which I wouldn't give offside. So England were lucky not to be 2-0 down when they get the penalty.
And then obviously they get a penalty of their own for that little Meunier holding up Henderson, who I think plays it well. And then the deflected shot by Mann. I guess the positive is the win. You know, even if you were maybe a bit lucky, you were maybe not the best team on the night, because I thought Belgium created the most chances.
They
were good, even with De Bruyne not at his complete best. So you take that, but there's a lot of work to be done with this England team.
Absolutely. When I looked at the game, I think that the Belgium side knew their formation far better than England did. You know, the wing-backs were more threatening the way they played. Meunier playing little one-twos, Castagne playing little one-twos. The centre-forward knew when the ball was going to come into him, so they had the better centre-forward out of the two. Then where was England's creativity in midfield? There wasn't really any, whereas Kevin De Bruyne didn't have his best game, but was still picking out some great passes. Carrasco, who I don't think is a wonderful player and probably won't be in Belgium's best side, was still making good runs from outside to in, where you couldn't see that with Rashford. I was really disappointed with Rashford. Mason Mount hardly had a kick in the first half. He got his goal in the second half through a deflection. But I thought it was a poor England performance, and a lot of work needs to be done. But if you keep picking new players, giving new caps, and you keep changing the formation, you're never going to get any fluency. Gareth Southgate has only got a short time now before the European Championship. He's got to make sure what his best side is, what his best formation is, and stick with it. If he keeps changing it and giving four new caps every time England play, he's not going to have any fluency.
You're right. I mean, you could always say as well that Kane, Sterling and Sancho, who are usually the front three, were not there for different reasons. Sterling was injured. Kane, I don't think, was 100%. And Sancho obviously had that ill-discipline incident with Tammy Abraham's birthday. But I'm not sure, even had they been there, that you would have seen a completely different performance, because, as you said, in midfield, the lack of creativity, for me, is one of the biggest issue in this team. If you play a double pivot with Rice and Henderson, or Phillips and Rice, like he did before, or Henderson and someone else, you're going to struggle. There's no runs coming from midfield. They don't really play forwards. I don't think off the ball that they're just good enough, again, to bring some creativity, to bring something else. Surely a number six and a number eight, to summarize it, you know, in an easy way, would be better.
You have to, you know, when you're playing in midfield, you've got to break through the opposition. You've got to play beyond the player you're up against. You do it in three ways. You either pass the ball forward, pass it beyond them. You play around them, play little one-twos to get beyond them. Or you run with the ball beyond them. And I can't see Henderson doing that, and I can't see Declan Rice doing that. You know, they're good passes of the ball when it's square and play it into feet, but they're not going to create something like Kevin De Bruyne did. And if you're going to try and be the world champions, the European champions, you've got to have more creativity, either with people that can run with it or people that can pass beyond the defence of the opposition.
Well, we'll see in the next game against Denmark, you know, what happens, what Southgate does. But I agree with you in terms of consistency in who he picks and how they play. You need to see a bit more of that. For Belgium, Roberto Martinez at the end almost looked like, how did we lose this game? He looked a bit shocked. There was a lot of good things they did, you know, defensively. I guess it could have been better for Belgium.
It could have been. You know, when you look at Denier and Boyata, are they top class centre halves? Is Alderweireld the player he was three or four years ago? So, you know, they're not rock solid, but I think they knew their jobs quite well, and they didn't give too many chances away. I mean, the deflected goal when Meunier from a set play was marking on the wrong side, and that's why he fouled. I quite like the midfield players. I thought Witzel did really well there, and again, De Bruyne was the one player that could pick out those passes. And Lukaku, as he's done for Inter, is very good with his back to goal now.
Stu, let's talk a bit more now for the podcast side of the show on England, and I wanted to ask you about that back three, because I'm quite fascinating, to be honest, because I do think England have some good defenders, and I can see why he wants to play with a back three, although that would not be my choice. I don't think you use enough your wing backs anyway in that formation, as we saw against Belgium. So how would you build that defence? First, would you go with a back three? Would you revert to a back four? And if you kept the back three, who would you have as your three centre-backs?
Well, I think I'm going to go with the back three, because I think that's Gareth Southgate's preferred formation. We saw that at the World Cup. So we'll talk about that. Maguire is actually better off when he plays on the left-hand side. That's what he did at the World Cup. That's when he's still got the ability, when he comes onto his right foot, to bend balls in behind the full-back, as we saw behind Meunier for the runs of Rashford, whoever's playing out on the left-hand side. So I'm happy with that. Dyer, I think, has gone backwards over the last two or three years. And I'm not sure that he's got enough pace. I'm not sure he's good enough on the ball. I'm not sure he's dominant enough in the air. Yeah. You know, he was a decent holding midfield player for England for a while, and he was a decent holding midfield player for Spurs, but he's gone off the ball doing that. And I don't think he's quite good enough to be England's centre-half. So you'd have to change whoever was going to be the middle centre-half.
Could you have Conor Cody there? Is Conor Cody ready?
I think
he's better than
that. I think he's a better reader of the game. He's a better defender. Is he good enough on the ball to play out from the back, if that's what Gareth Southgate wants? I'm not quite sure. But if you are going to play with back three, you've got to have at least one side where the wide centre-half, the right-sided centre-half, or the left-sided centre-half, but in this case the right-sided centre-half, is good enough to go and be a full-back. Yeah. And that's why Walker plays in that position, because he's got enough pace, he's used to playing at a full-back, he can play as the right-sided centre-half. Because if you're playing with Alexander-Arnold in front of him, Alexander-Arnold's decision-making in the last year and a half as a defender has been really poor. Even in recent games for Liverpool, a lot of the mistakes have been made. Nobody highlights them, but he's going towards the ball and leaving space in behind him when people are running down that channel. Arsenal did it in the Community Shield. They did it in the league game when they scored their first goal. So that's a major problem. So if you're saying to Alexander, go forward and get on the ball and get crosses in, then you need a right-sided centre-half who can get out there and cover that. And that would be Kyle Walker at the moment. You know, he got sent off in a game. Yes, he can be rash at times, but I still think he's the best at doing that job.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think there's probably something in there, but you would have a left wing back who is left has to be the key.
Chilwell would be the obvious answer to that, because you can have I don't know if it's Rashford or whoever wants to play out on that left-hand side.
Sterling.
It's somebody that can... You have to have the combination of right and left. Sterling could come in onto his right foot and bend balls in and get shots away, but he's also got to have the option where he can reverse the ball back for the overlapping run so a left-footer can hit it in first time. So Chilwell would be the obvious replacement for Trippier in that position.
I mean, it's three games in a row now between the Iceland game, which they won 1-0 with a late penalty after Iceland missed their own.
Yeah. Poor performance. Poor.
The 0-0 against Denmark.
Even worse performance, again.
With that front three there this time. This game against Belgium, which they win, and, you know, we've discussed it enough. It's important to win, I guess. Now they play Denmark again on Wednesday night at Wembley again. Surely you have to see an improvement. Whoever he starts, whether he starts Sancho probably, Kane probably as well, but you need to see a bit more in terms of the collective strength, especially going forward. I want to see triangles. I want to see overlapping wing-backs or full-backs. I want to see some movement. I want to see some excitement. This was not good enough.
If you're picking a similar side every time and a similar formation, those combinations come naturally. You know, suddenly players get an understanding.
Yeah.
And it can happen very quickly. We've seen it with Everton. James Rodriguez has come into the side, and after four or five games, every time he gets the ball, there's a trigger point for everybody else to make their movement. Luka Dean makes his forward runs. Richarlison comes in off the left-hand side. Now, we're not seeing that with England at the moment. It's all a little bit off the cuff. Where's the next pass going to be? How am I going to get it into him? That needs to be done day in, day out when they're working as a team. The formation needs to be the same. While Belgium, they lost the game, while Belgium looked better and looked to know what they were doing, it's because they played that system for four years under Roberto Martinez. England needs to, and Gareth Southgate needs to choose the system. He needs to know what his best team is and go with that on most occasions, even if it's just for 60, 70 minutes.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see on Wednesday what they have against Denmark.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Robert, let's move on to the other big game, I guess, on Sunday was France against Portugal, and we welcome Franck Leboeuf to discuss the game with us. Franck, what did you make of it? I mean, he finished 0-0. It was quite boring at time. I guess the defences took over from the attacks. I guess that's the best way of putting it. They were very solid, both France and Portugal, defensively. That's the main thing that you take away from the game?
Exactly, Jules. I think as a former defender, I have to be pleased with the way the two defenses have worked yesterday, and that they've been absolutely strong and working all together. And it's true that everybody was expecting, because you had Mbappe on one side and Ronaldo on the other side, to see more goals or to see even one goal, and it didn't happen because the two defenses have been working like I barely see nowadays, you know. They work all together as a block. All the midfield, they came back. Even the forwards, they did it. And we saw Ronaldo in the second half helping the defenses. So you know, you cannot complain, you know, one day saying, you know, people are not thinking about defending. And when you see that, saying, oh, well, it's boring because we didn't see goals. It's a fact. It should have been more attractive. But it is what it is, and I'm pleased with the defenses. Now, seeing that, when you have the pace of players like Mbappe, then after Coman and Ronaldo on the other side, I wonder why you don't use it and you just try to have the position of the ball and don't take any risk getting the ball behind the defenses. That's my question for the day. And I was, again, very pleased with the defensive aspect of that game, but pretty bored, you know, with the offensive aspect of it.
Deschamps is clearly saying, I'm trying new things, mm-hmm. trying new formation, new system. He, obviously, the 4-4-2 is traditionally mm-hmm. his main system. We saw him playing with the back three, and Griezmann as a number 10, as a free role behind two strikers. That's the way they played again mm-hmm. yesterday in a 4-4-2 with diamond midfield, with Griezmann at the top of it. What did you make of Griezmann's game?
Non-existent, almost, Griezmann. I'm not sure, and I'd like to ask Frank's view on this, what Griezmann gives France now. Is he a centre-forward? Is he a midfield player that's going to create? Is he somebody that's going to run past people? What are his attributes when he plays for the national side? You know, that's my question to you, Frank. What does Griezmann give France at the moment?
Well, not that much. I mean, the guy is struggling with Barcelona, so don't expect for Griezmann to be another player or the player that he was for the national team. He's a human being with his question marks, and he brings them to France when he played with the national team. That's the main problem. He wonders, you know, every day that he trains, if he's useful for his new club, which is not new anymore, but for what Koeman wants to do with him. And we can see him being completely lost in the Camp Nou, in La Liga. And I see the same with the national team. I think maybe Deschamps should make a pose with him, especially when you see that you have some young new players coming in and maybe could bring something special. That's, we made a mistake in 2002, Jules, if you recall properly, where we Lemaire kept players like me and some others who are maybe too old to carry on, even if we had dreamed to win the World Cup another time. Yeah. And he should have changed and move us out to bring the new generation. It's maybe the time for Deschamps to think about that. You know, so Griezmann, Pogba, some others, you know, who have been there for a long time, do they still need to be there where you see that Camavinga is here and some others are there to bring maybe a fresh air, a new possibilities? That's the question. I don't know if it's maybe now too late for Griezmann to react and that we have to move on with new players.
My issue is that Griezmann is not number 10. For me, it's as simple as that. And you play him in a position that is not his. He drops too deep at times. Mm. He's too close to his midfielder like yesterday. I think yesterday he gives most passes to Rabiot and to Pogba. Mm. As a number 10, you should give more balls to your two strikers ahead of you, Mbappe and Giroud. The problem that Deschamps has is that he wants to move Mbappe from wide into more central position. Okay, no problem. But he doesn't want to drop Giroud as well. Mm. So he's trying to find a way where you can play Griezmann central, Giroud central, and Mbappe central, and I'm just not sure if that could work.
I was disappointed with the movement of Mbappe yesterday. You know, when he's playing sort of on the left-hand side, like Thierry Henry used to do, and making runs in between the fullback and the centre-half, and he times them well, and he's keeping, and Frank Turk said they didn't play him behind. I'm not sure Mbappe made enough runs to get him behind, yeah. And Giroud's never going to run him behind. He's a target man that I don't think he's good enough anymore to play for. When Frank's talking about getting players out the squad that you need to get fresh legs in there, Giroud would be one of those players. The only other player that I thought could be on his way out would be Varane, because Upamecano looks a magnificent player when I've seen him play. He's somebody that probably could come into that back four as well.
Jules. Yeah. Robbo had a very good reflection last night on our fantastic show ESPN FC when he said that Pogba had a very interesting second half where he was bringing, you know, a little bit of pace, a lot of pace, you know, in the game going forward, but he was going quicker than the old strikers like Giroud and Mbappe was on the side and it was useless. And when Giroud was too slow and Griezmann was running backward, so Pogba was going forward, but he was on his own, so he had to break a little bit and wait for the others to come. So there is a problem. There is a tactical problem when you want to go forward and somebody pace up a little bit. There is nobody around him. So that's the main problem, I think.
Pogba is an interesting one because first half, I think when Portugal were really strong in midfield, Danilo and William Carvalho, very physical, he struggled a bit. And then second half, when he could drive with the ball, when he had that energy, that intensity, suddenly it's a completely different player almost. Mm. Like, how do you explain the contrast between that first half and that second half?
I think in the first half, he was put under a bit more pressure and he was looking to play little balls around the corner and there was nobody there to play off at times and he could then only pass it backwards. Then he was trying to do a little bit by himself to twist and turn. He was having the ball pinched off him. But in the second half, when he had space in front of him and he started driving forward, he was too strong and too pacey for some of the Portuguese midfield players. The problem was that when he got into those positions, the forward runners weren't running beyond him. Some of them were coming back. So he played well, but I think he was limited because some of the other players around him weren't making enough forward runs.
But Frank, it's good news if you're a Manchester United fan, right? To see Pogba, who, let's not forget, was out for 9 months last year. Well, you know, between the 2 years due to his ankle injury. So you would think he's not completely match fit. But to see him in that kind of form in that second half against a team like Portugal, surely it's quite promising for United that when he's going to come back for the club, he's going to be a bit sharper physically.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be promising for Manchester United fans or for Real Madrid fans, you know. because the thing is, if you're a Manchester United fan, what you see on the field is very interesting about Paul Pogba. About his comments is another story. But he comes back to fitness. I mean, I've been very critical half-time, you know, during that game yesterday when I said, you know, I don't recognize him. I think he lost it. He lost the appetite for football. And it seems to be that he regained it. And we saw the Pogba that we used to see going forward with Juventus, being able to take on players and giving pace to the game. That's a very good news. So maybe because he played on the right side as well, don't forget that he is more used on the left side most of the time, and then he played on the right side, so maybe he had to adjust. But it's true, he had maybe less spaces in the first half than he had in the second half. But we could see a better Pogba. Pogba has talent, no doubt about that. That's what's going on in his brain that we can question. That's the only thing. If he wants to be a fantastic player, he can be the fantastic player because he already showed it. But, as all Manchester United fans, you can wonder.
Frank, would you not say that he was really helped also by the performance of Conte, who sits in that hole just in front of the two centre-halves and allows Pogba to go and play more forward? He can be more dynamic. When he's playing for Manchester United, he hasn't got that protection alongside him.
Of course. And that's always been Pogba's issue, that you have to ensure behind him defensively because you know that he's not good at defending and he has to be a free bird. That's the problem with Pogba. That's the problem also with Griezmann. What are you going to do with them? That's two issues for Deschamps where he considers they are the two leaders of the team. That you have a tactical problem because you don't know where to put them. And in case you put them, you have to adjust the team according to them. That's the main problem for me.
I mean, it was a special night for Kylian Mbappe as well because he was playing against Cristiano Ronaldo, who was his idol growing up. He says he's the GOAT and everything. And you saw a couple of times during the game, either they were talking, but you could see on Mbappe's face, oh, wow, you know, he's here. And when Kylian was really young, he went to Real Madrid for training with the youth team. They really wanted to sign him even when he was 11 already. And Cristiano was there. And I just think that it started probably there. Kylian Mbappe's night, as an incredible talent that he is, and he has that great chance early in the second half, you know, when he cut backs on his left foot, and then I think he tries to chip over with Patricio, which I'm not sure was the right choice. But then, apart from those little individual moments of brilliance, collectively, I didn't think that he sort of integrated himself in that team.
I would agree. I mean, what we see with Mbappe quite a lot is obviously his movement and his pace to run beyond people. I think what we're not seeing quite so much of now is when he's getting in 1v1 situations, going past his man with the ball. So a lot of his work is off the ball. It wasn't particularly good last night. But I think what he needs to develop again is that ability to go past people with the ball, get shots away, and play little one-twos in and around the box. We didn't see that from him yesterday.
Frank, what did you make of Kylian's performance?
I totally agree with you, but it's quite normal. I mean, that guy has everything that you want to have if you're a football player because the talent is there. But when you have stars like that, and look at Ronaldo or Messi, do they integrate to the collective aspect of their teams. No, they are special. So you have to adjust that. That's the main problem with when you have fantastic players, you know, especially forwards, that you play defensively 10 against 11. That's the thing, because they are not part of it. And that's the main problem that I have. Do you prefer to have Liverpool with 11 players working all together, or do you prefer to have Ronaldo, Messi, and or Mbappé, and be PSG, Barcelona, or Juventus? That's the main thing that you have to have. I mean, those players, you cannot say, I don't want them, because they're absolutely fantastic. But you have to think, you know, how you're going to work. And that's the main problem for Mbappé. Now, Kylian has to be careful. Football is a show, of course, but it's not only a show. You have to be effective. And sometimes he forgets about that. Sometimes I was talking to Thierry Henry when he was playing for Arsenal. I see you playing, you know, every time you get the ball, you can kill 4 or 5 players. I say, why do you waste energy just to show to the crowd that you can do a trick? We don't want to see you for like 10 minutes, then get the ball, take on players and score a goal. And you do that 4 times, you're going to win 4-0 because you're unstoppable. And that's the thing, and what we call experience. And that's the thing that Mbappe should do. We should forget about him a little bit and keep your energy. But when you do it properly. Don't do it for the crowd. Do it for the football and for your team. And maybe it would be more efficient.
Mind you have to say he hasn't got a very good role model at PSG, has he? He's got somebody that does want to play up to the crowd.
Leave me alone. No, but I think it would be very interesting to see, because he's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, Mbappé. And there's a point where he's already France's best player. So do you build your team around him, or be like Frank was saying, because he's so special, or you know, how do you play? Do you try to find the right guy next to him or below him?
I would play him at centre forward, and I would
on his own,
and I wouldn't have Giroud in the side, and have somebody just in behind him who can feed him the ball and make balls over the top and play little 1-2s with him, because I just don't see that Giroud is a player that now gives France too much.
So you drop Giroud and you play what, Griezmann? Just behind,
you'd try that to start with Griezmann and Mbappe up front, and then you play with more width in midfield.
Frank, do you think that could be a way for Deschamps? You drop Giroud and you play Griezmann a bit closer to Mbappe up front.
Yeah, it can be a solution, but again, we talked about Griezmann. Now, do you put Griezmann in the team? The thing, Mbappe, I don't know. Mbappe should be free. Don't ask Mbappe to play. Tell him to play wherever he wants, you know, and the other player have to adjust. I mean, it would be crazy if Deschamps say, no, you know what, Mbappe is a problem for me, and I will put him on the bench, or I will ask him to stay at front, just as a striker. No, when you have a talent, you have a diamond like that, you let him free. Messi is free, Ronaldo is free, they do whatever they want. But you have to have soldiers around them. That's the thing. We had Gianfranco Zola, where Gianfranco was special because on top of it, he was working defensively. But you don't ask anything to Gianfranco Zola. We used to work for him, and that's what it is. And you have to understand that. So it's not even a choice. You don't have the choice. You have Mbappe. You have to, of course, to use him, and you have to work the team around him. But he has to know that he has to be effective. If he thinks he's just a star, he do what he wants. It's not going to work.
So I thought Kimpembe was fantastic at the back, but that's for another time. I thought he's improved a lot in the last few months. Just a word on Portugal, because they were solid, as we said. I think if you have Danilo Pereira and William Carvalho, who are two really strong defensive midfielders, it helps. What did you make of Cristiano Ronaldo and the complementarity between that front four of João Félix, Bernardo Silva, Cristiano and Bruno Fernandes? At times, it looked like it was really fluid, and now other times, they actually didn't really create much.
Well, they didn't create enough. When you're playing with Cristiano Ronaldo in your side now, the thing, you know, I've watched him a lot for Juventus, it's getting crosses into the box.
Yeah.
You know, he's an absolute threat when balls come into the box. He's good in the air, his movement is excellent, he gets across the front of defenders. And Portugal didn't do that enough. João Félix wanted to come inside and play off of him. Bernardo Silva was doing the same the other side. And when you're playing against the diamond in midfield, which France were, the two key players for the opposition's attack is the two fullbacks. They should add the freedom of the park. Every time the ball was switched, but neither Semedo or Guerrero, apart from one really good cross from Guerrero, they didn't get enough crosses into the box. So that was the problem for Ronaldo. He didn't get enough service.
He had. I mean, one good chance in the first half, Frank, where Lucas Hernandez did an amazing block and then did the save by Hugo Lloris right at the end. I think the last kick of the game, or one of the last kick on his left foot shot. What did you make of Ronaldo's game?
I like the way he tries to play for his teammates. I mean, he knows he's a star, and from far to any other players, but he wants to be part of the job, to be part of the squad, and doesn't pretend to be even on the field like the big star. Just I don't run, and you give me the ball every time you have it. I like that he let everybody playing his own game, and that he participates to the even the defensive effort at some point. He had a good game, but when Fernando Santos, the coach, decides that he wants to be solid, that the main thing is to be very solid as a being, of course, it's gonna have an impact on Ronaldo, but also on the offensive aspect that Ronaldo, Lazrobo was talking about. You know, that Semedo, who can be very important offensively, well, he was taking care of Mbappe at some point, you know, so he couldn't go forward and stay mostly as a fullback, as a defensive right back, more than being too much offensive. So it's quite normal to see less offensive possibility to with Portugal, where the coach decides to be firstly very solid.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Let's see again how they evolve between now and the Euros. Frank, thank you so much, man.
It's a pure pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Frank.
Take care.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules.
Right, Robo. Enough international football, France, Portugal, England, Gareth Southgate, etc. Let's have some quick hits.
Let's go.
The Sunday Telegraph revealed the existence of that project Big Picture with a huge reform of the Premier League, 18 clubs instead of 20, no parachute payments, no League Cup, no Community Shield anymore, but all the power to the top six clubs. Where do you stand on it?
Well, I come from my family who are very socialist, my mum and dad, and so they would very much, and I'm in agreement, you don't want money going to money. You don't want money dictating power. And that's what the top six clubs are trying to do. They're trying to get more and more power, which I don't think is good for the game, and I don't think it's good morally. But I agree with some of the things. I think the League Cup needs to go. I can't see the point in the League Cup anymore. teams don't take it seriously enough until they get to the semi-final stage, unless they're a club that desperately need to win something, you know, like the Arsenals of the past that weren't winning, or Tottenham. They desperately want to win something, so they put strong sides out. So I would get rid of that. 20 to 18, I'm quite happy with 20. I think 20 works. I think it's a good format. The Premier League is still doing very well.
You don't think you make it more competitive if you've got 18 and get rid, for example, of the two worst teams, you know, that
it could be more competitive, but you know, I still believe that some of these clubs offer something to football, something to the spectacle. You know, some of these clubs, you know, when Huddersfield, they weren't a very good team, but the ground had a great atmosphere. They put in some good performances early on, and it's good for people around the world to see these different clubs. So I'm still for keeping 20. The Community Shield, you could take it or leave it. I don't think it means too much. I do it, but I enjoy it, but you know, it doesn't make any difference to the season.
What about the parachute payments? Because that, you know, this plan is also to help the Championship clubs, the League One and League Two clubs, where you pay, you give them a big chunk of the TV revenue in a very different way than it is now. Mm-hmm. You give 25% of your revenue to the EFL, for example, which I think would be huge for League One and League Two clubs, especially
with the pandemic and struggling for money. Yeah, and
that parachute payment is strange because you're not good enough to be in the Premier League, so you get relegated, and you go down to the championship back where you were with a huge amount of money, which is surely an unfair advantage compared to the other teams that are there in the championship.
I think the only problem being is that when teams go from the championship to the Premier League, they usually have to double wages of players, they have to bring people in on a lot of money. Then if they get relegated, they can't cope with it. So yeah. that's a problem. But then you could, if clubs don't spend money when they come up from the championship, they're not going to survive anyway. So it's a very difficult one.
You're right.
But, you know, overall, the one thing I'd be worried about is that eventually, if the top six get more power, there'll be a European league. We'll see them going, cancelling some fixtures or making it shorter so they could go on lucrative trips here, there and everywhere to play pre-season friendlies. And get in their own TV rights. That's what everybody's worried about.
Yeah, as well. And it looks unlikely on paper that this could get past the 20 club. The Premier League will have to vote 14 for it. So let's see. It might not happen.
Okay. Staying in the Premier League, there was huge outcry when it was announced that some games would only be made available via pay-per-view. Jules, your view?
I find it incredible that some fans will have to pay £15 to watch their team at the weekend. Sky and BT made all those games available because there was no one in the stadiums, which I thought was a great idea. I don't see the need of changing all of that and have games on pay-per-view now. I think it's an absolute disgrace.
I would agree with you. You know, the whole point, if people can't go and watch the games, it should be available on TV.
And it's on top of your subscription already, which we pay, like, I don't know, £80 a month already to have Sky and BT. It's quite crazy. Spain beat Switzerland 1-0 on Saturday night. Robo, you commented on the game. Spain didn't play that well, but they didn't really need to. I mean, they were gifted a goal by...
It was a strange game. Switzerland, who I don't think are a wonderful creative side, tried to play out from the back on numerous occasions and kept on getting caught. And Spain are now trying to press like Barcelona did many years ago and like the best Spanish teams did, and trying to press all around the field. And Switzerland made it too easy for them. You know, but when I look at Spain, Fatty didn't play as well as he did against Ukraine.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't show the same sort of ability to go past people. He didn't show the same sort of pace even.
Yeah.
So maybe he was tired. He's only 17. But the big problem that Spain have for me is they haven't got a centre-forward. You know, Gerard Moreno has played in one or two of the games. Don't think looks like an international centre-forward. Rodrigo's played.
So Oyarzabal
scored, but again, he played in a false nine. Then he went to the right-hand side and Ferran Torres went through the middle. So that's the one conundrum that Luis Enrique's got to sort out. Who do you play in the centre-forward position? Or do you not play or do you play without centre-forward? And how are you going to be creative without a centre-forward?
Yeah, that's a good, fair point.
For the Netherlands, however, it was a very different story.
Oh my God, they drew 0-0 in Bosnia. It was so bad for most of the game, apart from at the end when they put Van Dijk up front and they just hoofed the ball, which again is not the Dutch's style at all. And I've said on this show before how bad I thought appointing De Boer was. I just don't think he's a good manager at all. Everywhere he goes, it's a failure, it's a disaster. I don't know why the Dutch thought, let's bring him in, he's a winner. No, he's not a winner, and he's not even playing well. And they just hoofed the ball, made crosses for Luke de Jong. Memphis was suspended, which I think is a big blow, but it was painful too.
I didn't really see the game, but for 4 years I covered the Netherlands when they were going through their poor spell of not qualifying for the World Cup, for the European Championship. And they played a style of football which was keeping possession. They usually had 70% possession, but didn't do anything with it. It was passing for the sake of passing. Has that changed?
It was. They had a lot of the ball, but it was not even that. There was just not enough in their productivity in that game at all. It was bad.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Marcus Rashford has been made MBE for his incredible work and fight against child poverty during this pandemic. I thought footballers were supposed to only stick to football, Robo.
No, I think you can. Nowadays, footballers are great role or should be great role models. As even when you were young, when I was young, which was a lot longer ago. Who did we look up to? You looked up to the people who were your idols, and they were usually, in my life, it was footballers, and I'm sure it was the same in your life.
Yes, very much so.
So what they did, and I liked cricket as well, so when Ian Botham was doing all these walks all around the country,
you
saw that as a great feat. So I think Marcus Rashford should be applauded for what he's done, and quite rightly got his MBE.
Yeah, well done.
Good to
him. Yeah, definitely.
Jules, what's going on in France between Mediapro, who owns the right, and the French League?
That's a disaster, Robo. Mediapro, who've just come in, they've got a four-year contract, they've just created a whole brand new channel, paid a lot of money, over a billion for the rights of Ligue 1 and Ligue 2, are saying that we don't want to pay. Let's have a rebate because there's no fans in the stadium. So they've missed out on the payment that we're supposed to pay at the beginning of October, which means that the club won't get their money from the TV rights, and especially in this context, it's a disaster for them. I just don't know how this will evolve. I don't know what kind of solution they will find, because if Mediapro don't want to play, what do you strip off?
So they're saying it's not a good product because there's nobody in.
Yeah, so they want a discount, basically. But this is not how it works. You sign for 4 years to a certain price, or certainly don't do it that way, by not paying and then threatening of not paying again.
But I don't think around the world that people are watching football on the TV less because there's no crowd.
Exactly, no.
I think, in fact, you'd almost be watching more, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and in the Premier League, as we saw, there's far more goals and it's far more exciting so far than when we had fans. So, it's a weird one. Saïd Benarama is on his way to West Ham for around 30 million. He was really good with Brentford last season in the Championship. Is it a good signing, do you think?
Well, we've seen another Brentford player, Ollie Watkins, doing really well at Aston Villa. Benrahma, I thought, was just as good as Ollie Watkins last season for Brentford, playing in a slightly different position. Whenever I saw Benrahma, he was playing either out on the left, he was then playing in the false number nine position, then he'd play on the right-hand side. But I think he's a very good player, and he would be a good signing. He'd add that creativity to West Ham.
I agree.
Finally, Jules, we're all like a romantic story. Well, some of us do. We got one at Santos, didn't we?
Yes, with Robinho going back for the fourth time in the club where it all started for him. Signed for 5 months, earning £260 per month or something like this. We'll see how it goes.
Obviously, almost as much as you.
Yeah, almost. You know, there was a bit of controversy because of the rape allegations that he'd faced before. And I think people in Brazil, maybe not so keen. But let's see how it goes. I just like when you go back and you bring something to your former club. So let's see. Right, that's all we have time for today. Robert, thank you so much for coming in and replacing
Gab. Always a pleasure.
Have a good week, everyone. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you back on Thursday. And Gab will be back this time. Take care.